So, going into the duels, of course, your brother Ryan is trying to race his way into the 500. How do you view about him getting this opportunity of course with Tommy Baldwin, and hopefully he makes it in and you guys race each other?
Yeah, I'm excited for him to have the opportunity. It's definitely a difficult race to make. Obviously, with the duels and the draft and all that stuff, it's tough. So hopefully it goes well. I'm not sure exactly what our plans are yet for the duels, how we're going to race it, how we're going to approach it. I do know we really want to race the car we have now in the 500. Our backup car is not as good, and Cole's adamant that he does not want to race it in the 500. So play it safe, hopefully, and hopefully Ryan will make it in without any help from us.
With this race being the last one under the old package before going to the new one, of course, over the past couple of years, the plate tracks have been kind of a crapshoot where it doesn't matter where you are, it's just the concern of being patient. Has that been a struggle for a lot of drivers because there's really no room for error? Otherwise, it'll be a huge wreck around.
That's a difficult one to answer. I think restrictor plate racing is what it is. Certainly the package that we're racing now has its challenges. The leaders really dictate kind of the way the field races. You know, like we've seen in the duels, if the five or six of the leaders decide to go single file against the wall, there's nothing you can do about it. That makes it difficult at times, but you know, aside from that, it's restricted plate racing. It's about putting yourself in the right position in the right time, and hopefully you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time when the big one happens.
Of the 40 starters in Sunday's field, how many have a legit shot of winning the race?
Out of the 40 cars, how many have a legit shot at winning? Probably 25. At least. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I want to ask you if there's a moment that you remember when you think Daytona 500 that you think of when you shut your eyes or you look back on, or a moment you regret, or a moment that was a Superman moment for you, or a one you didn't do?
I think the second place finish by whatever it was, is the one that I think about the most in 2016. Just to think about this race and what it means, the significance of it, and the prestige of winning it, to know we were that close. As close as anyone has ever been without winning it. It's crazy. Kind of makes me angry.
If you could go back, what would you do differently?
I would have just ran into Denny.
Yeah.
Just pushed him up the track.
Along those
just do what everybody does to me.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, how has the transition been to Jokic? Is it a little less, cut and dry because you were affiliated with them before versus maybe other times you've changed teams?
Yeah, I would say that it was a lot easier, a lot less unknowns. Less nervous about it, just because I know things. And I talk about simple things like I know what their brakes are like. I know what their throttle pedal feels like. I know what kind of steering they run. I know, when you go to – I've been to teams – when I switched teams before, it's like starting over a lot of times, right? When I went from DEI to MWR, it was like completely starting over. All new people, all different parts and pieces, all new equipment. Everything felt different. The approach was different. That's where you kind of have that anxiety of how's this really going to be? I think it's going to be good, but I don't know. There's so many questions when you switch teams like that. For this transition for me was a lot easier because we worked so closely together in the past couple of years. We essentially built our cars together. We used all the same stuff, parts and pieces, engines, you name it. I'm familiar with all that. I'm familiar with their process, the way they do things, the way they work together. The way their meetings are. I mean, you name it. It's a comfortable change. So for me, it's been as easy as it's ever been to switch teams like this year.
Kyle said the biggest difference was that Cole is sitting in a different spot now when you guys have the big meetings and everyone
was
like that.
Yeah. Now he's actually in the meeting. He used to be in Colorado, so he was on the phone, but it's definitely different in person.
How maddening is this race? And that in one sense, the most important race to win is also sometimes the most out of your control.
It's frustrating. I guess it can be frustrating, but anything that big's not easy to get, right? So I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, you look at Dale Earnhardt; took him 17 tries or something, 20, yeah. So he won the most races at Daytona of anyone ever, and he hadn't won the Daytona 500. That just shows how hard it is to win, and I don't think that has changed over the years. You look at a guy like Trevor Bayhn; he came out of nowhere and won the thing. So. He never won any other races. I mean, it's one of those races where crazy things tend to happen. Huge stories come out of it. And that's part of the reason why it is such a big deal.
So getting through all the crazy things that can go wrong can be as satisfying as just coming in and having the best car all day?
Well, I don't know about that, but but I think if you get to take that Earl Trophy home, sorry, I think you don't give a damn how you got it. Harley J. Earl, there we go.
Almost the story that came out of this race 3 years ago, and I know you hate that word almost.
Yeah.
Denny was in here earlier talking about how it took the right move coming off turn four and the right lane to win this race. When you look back on that, was there anything more you could have done?
Yes.
You're not going
to
tell us what, though.
No. I totally could have won that race. No, I could have done something a little different. Just enough to beat him to the line, you know. But he beat me to the line, so it didn't work.
That was the year that the Toyotas that we all got together and dominated the day and were in position at cars lines 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Was that a turning point? Because it seems like since then, everybody's figured out how to line up on the manufacturer lines. And, you know, Denny even said, y'all maybe now are at a disadvantage because there's not enough of you compared to the Ford Jet.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. We kind of were the first ones to do that and show everybody how it could work. And, you know, with that said, it was still hard to make it work. You know, we all had to end up in the same place, which is difficult to do here. We had a plan, and it miraculously worked out. We all ended up at the front at the same time, and we were able to get together. The hardest part is getting together. Staying together is not that hard. For sure we're at a disadvantage now just based on pure numbers. And, you know, the Fords especially have been really fast at the plate tracks the last couple of years with this particular package. And now there's so many of them that they're all really competitive. And they're all really good at this type of racing with the stuff they're running, their engines, everything about it, I guess. They just have a good package for here. So it's difficult to deal with that. You know, they're not always all together, but when they are, they're tough to handle. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, we kind of try to work together as best as we can and hope that they have issues.
Mark, with this new rules package, do you see racing at 2 mile and mile and a half tracks being more like racing at Daytona and Talladega?
I would say more like, yes. I wouldn't say just like. I think there will be certain tracks where it looks somewhat similar. No question it's going to be harder to stay together at those tracks than it is here. Some tracks will be easier to stay close together. Maybe Michigan, Charlotte, the all-star package that we had last year seemed like we could all stay pretty close. There's going to be tracks, though, where it looks completely different. You know, I think we go to Atlanta, it's going to look a lot different than it did at Charlotte. We go to California, it's going to look a lot different. So there's going to be certain tracks that looks one way, certain tracks where it looks another way. There's no way to make the same exact racing at all the different tracks because they're just so different. I think we'll have to wait and see, I think, and wait a little while before we make kind of a judgment on this thing and what it looks like and whether we're happy with it or not.
Any anticipation going to Bristol? I talked to Kevin a while ago. He said with this new package, he expected to be very, very fast.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that race in general?
Well, it's going to be very fast, crazy, I think. I mean, honestly, it's going to be the fastest we've ever gone there, no question, because we're going to have more downforce than we've ever had. Not a fan of that, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Where do you rank adaptability on a scale, on the list of skills a driver has to have?
It's up there. It's real high up there.
I mean, like one of the most important ones?
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, I think if you look at most sports, your football or baseball or whatever, you're doing the same thing each week, right? You're playing on the, whether you go to a different state or whatever, you're playing on the same field, you're playing the same game, you're doing the same things. We go to a different racetrack every weekend. The track changes throughout the race. The track changes throughout the year. Different styles of racetrack. Every track has there's a certain way to get around it the fastest. You know, and then the tires are changing, the rules are changing. You can never sit still as a driver. You're always learning. You're always trying to get better because so much changes around you. You don't just keep going back and doing the same thing over and over again.
Do you think that's enhanced even this year with how significant the changes are?
I think it's just another thing that we'll have to deal with. You know, I think that we deal with changes very well. Most guys do, and driver-wise. I think you're used to it over the years. We grow up driving go-karts, then we get in a modified, then we get in a late model, then you go, some guys race on dirt. It's just part of being a race driver.
Last year, you were part of the big three. Coming forward to this year, do you take any of that with you? I know there's a new team, some dynamics there, but it's really a lot of your same guys in your crew chief. Does that momentum carry over? Does that make you feel good that you might be still in that mix?
I think so. I feel good about I think everybody in the garage wants to be one of those guys that are looked at as, here's the guys to beat every week. We all want to be there. It's been fun to be in that position for a couple of years. No guarantee that we'll be there again. There's no guarantee. You never know who's going to figure it out quick and come out of, some guy come out of nowhere this season. You never know because it's going to be so different. I don't know. There's a lot to learn. I really don't worry about all that stuff. I worry about results. I want to win races. And if we do our jobs and if I'm happy with the job I'm doing, then yeah, I'll probably be one of those big three.
The transition on the equipment side has been easy, right? Because it's Gibbs and it's familiarity, and all of the small team and the remote location has been kind of great storylines. Is it easier on the transition side not to have either that pressure of being far away or the financing or sponsors? Is it easier now for that in that respect?
For me, it is, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot less worry for me on the team side, worrying about what their future is, how are things going. I know it wasn't really reported on a lot a couple years ago that, there was almost a chance that we were going out of business before, and it wasn't really talked about. It was kind of behind the scenes, and I had to go out and find the sponsors, and I had to do this and that to get paid, and it was like the stability of where I'm at now is clearly a lot different. It's there, which is it's important. I think it's, for me, it make it easier to focus on racing and not have to worry about all the other stuff. It'll be good, but I'm excited about it, and it's an awesome opportunity. Great organization and great people, and it's at the same time, it's I got to get the job done. A lot of pressure on me to perform, and hopefully I can deliver.
To follow up years ago? Yeah, sorry.
2015? What's that?
After
2015, I guess it was. Yeah. 16. After. Yeah. 16. Would have been going into 16. 15. Yeah, well, Furniture Row was Furniture Row car every weekend in 15, right? It wasn't any more than 16. Yeah. That was why. Things change. It depends on who's around you and what they're thinking, and some of it's where the wind's blowing and situational. Yeah. Best place is all four coming to the checker flag, though.
To follow up on the big three question a minute ago, with all the changes and everything going on, can you envision a couple of drivers kind of dominating the series, or do you envision more parity this year?
I really can't answer that. I feel like we're going to have more surprises. I feel like it's going to be a little more all over the place, a little wild and crazy at times. And again, the racing is going to be so different at certain tracks that I think it's going to give opportunities for guys to maybe to jump out and figure it out quick, maybe get a leg up on the competition.
If the driver's council is no longer going to be as prevalent this year, and maybe not even exist, do you feel like you guys still have a channel to be able to express those concerns? And then you saw what happened with Kyle Busch kind of throwing the package under the bus in Vegas, and John Probst responded. What is the balance between talking to us to get that word out and just talking to them privately?
I think there's always that opportunity to talk to them. I think sometimes it's, if guys in the heat of the moment, he gets frustrated about something like Kyle was at Vegas, clearly. it's easy to just vent your frustrations. I don't know that it's the right way to go, but it seems to be the way of the world around here most of the time. I think the channels are there. They're always willing to talk. They're always open. Steve O'Donnell and that group have been great to work with. There's no question about it. Are they going to do everything you ask them to? No, because they have everybody asking them something different. So, and they're the big decision makers. But there is that channel there, and they're always willing to talk. That doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. I mean, we had the driver's council, and we all wanted one thing, and they did another. So I think that's probably where some of the frustration comes from.
Why did that outlive its usefulness, the driver's council?
I think everybody has a different opinion on it. I mean, for me, it was, you know, the things that we wanted to do never happened, and it was just more out of frustration than anything.
We have time for one more, guys. You noticed that at the Montana test, you guys were getting really aggressive, even with three cars. So, in theory, the restarts are going to be bonkers and insane this year.
Probably. Probably. Is that what you want to hear?
Well, I was just wondering if that changes the way you race. Because, like, if everybody else is getting super, super aggressive, you have to respond like that.
Probably.
Sounds like you're prepared.
Yep. Right. I think I am.
I need one song that's going to push the victory this week. A rock song.
One song?
Yeah, you need a song.
I don't know. It's hard to concentrate with the radio playing. I don't keep a radio in my race car. AC/DC is pretty awesome. I'll give you one of those. Thunderstruck.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you, Mark.